Greetings and welcome to Word Magazine. This is Jeff Riddle. I'm the pastor of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. And in this episode of Word Magazine, I want to introduce you to a new organization that has only recently been formed. It is the Reformation Bible Society, RBS. And I want to invite you, the listener, to attend and to participate in our annual meeting of the Reformation Bible Society, which will be held on Saturday, August the 3rd of 2024 at the Liberty Mountain Conference Center, which is adjacent to Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia, in Central Virginia. I'm very honored to be serving on the executive committee for the Reformation Bible Society. I'm presently serving as one of the officers. I'm the chairman of the executive committee. I'm serving alongside of the other officers who are Pastor Christian McShaffrey, who is pastor of the Five Solas OPC Church in Reedsburg, Wisconsin. And he is serving as our secretary, and Pastor Jonathan Arnold of the Westminster Baptist Church in London, England, who is serving as our treasurer. The Reformation Bible Society has a purpose statement, and this is how the purpose statement reads for our society. It says, "The purpose of the society shall be to foster and promote scholarly study, defense, and interpretation of the traditional Reformation text of Christian scripture. That is to say, the Masoretic text of the Hebrew Old Testament and the received text of the Greek New Testament, by providing a medium for the oral exchange and written expression of thought and research." So that's our purpose statement for the Reformation Bible Society. Some of you may be familiar with what is called the Society of Biblical Literature, or SBL, which was founded in the year 1880. And that is now the largest scholarly society, I think, in the world, probably, dedicated to a non-sectarian academic approach to the study of the Bible. Each year, the SBL hosts an annual meeting along with another scholarly society called the American Academy of Religion. And this meeting draws thousands of attendees. At the meeting, there are hundreds of plenary lectures and short paper presentations. You may also be aware of or have heard of the Evangelical Theological Society, or ETS. This is a scholarly society which began in the year 1949, and it started when a group of evangelical scholars began to meet together because they felt as though their voices were not being heard and their views were not being received in the mainstream SBL circles. The Evangelical Theological Society now also holds large annual meetings, and they're usually scheduled just before the annual meeting of the SBL. The Evangelical Theological Society has a notoriously thin doctrinal standard requiring its members to hold a commitment to the doctrine of the Trinity, and also to have some kind of understanding, but not very well defined, of biblical inerrancy. Although the group is going strong after nearly 70 years, it has been no stranger to controversy, in large part because of that thin doctrinal statement. In the 1980s, in the Evangelical Theological Society, there was controversy over a member who had written about and questioned the historicity of the Gospels. In the early 2000s, there was controversy over so-called open theism. And later in the 2000s, there was controversy when the president of the Evangelical Theological Society, who was a professor of religion at a large evangelical university, Baptist University, resigned after he, as president of the ETS, after he was received into the Roman Catholic Church. The idea of the Reformation Bible Society is to provide something like the SBL or the ETS for those who hold to the Reformation text position, for those who hold to the confessional text or the traditional Protestant text of the Bible. My friend Howie Jones of Canada has challenged us in this Reformation text or traditional text movement to make sure that we direct our attention and our voices to at least three audiences. First, he said we should speak to the seminary professor. We should address the teaching lectern, the person who teaches in the seminary or the Bible college. Secondly, he said we should address our attention and our voices to those in the pulpit, those who stand behind the sacred desk, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, and preach and teach. And then thirdly, he said we should direct our attention to those in the pew, the ordinary faithful believers who read the scriptures devotionally and who listen to and drink in Lord's Day by Lord's Day, the preaching and teaching of God's word. So three audiences for promoting what is, we think, a revival of the Reformation text in our day. We have to address the teaching lectern, we need to address the pulpit, and we need to address the ordinary believer in the pew. Well, when it comes to the Reformation Bible Society, although we want to have people, all kinds of people, participate in our annual meeting, anyone can come to the meeting. This is an effort especially to address the teaching lectern. It's an attempt to give a venue for scholarly discussion of the doctrine of scripture or bibliology from a Reformation text affirming position. Although we're going to address various issues from, again, an academic perspective, we also hope that there will be benefit for anyone who might attend this meeting, and so it's open to anyone to attend. Maybe the best way for me to introduce the Reformation Bible Society and the annual meeting, which will be held on August the 3rd of 2024, is for us to visit the website of the Reformation Bible Society. And so we have a good website that can be found at reformationbiblesociety.org. And so let me see if I can pull this up on the screen for you to see. Yeah, there it is. And so let's just do a little tour of this so that we can understand this better. There's the home page, but I'm actually going to go to the about page. And here there is the constitution for the Reformation Bible Society. And there's the purpose that I read earlier, why this society exists. And then there's also the doctrinal basis, which is essentially a recitation of Westminster Confession of Faith, Second London Baptist Confession of Faith, Chapter 1, Paragraph 8 on the doctrine of Scripture. With respect to membership, Section 1 says membership in the society shall be on an individual rather than an institutional basis. So you participate in the society as an individual, not because you're a member of a church or you work for this institution. Secondly, every member must agree with the society's purpose, stated above, subscribe to the doctrinal basis and to at least one of the following confessions of faith. So what we're aiming for here is a much more robust doctrinal standard than, say, the ETS, which only suggests the Trinity and an amorphous kind of idea of inerrancy. We're asking for someone who would be a member to hold to the Westminster Standards, the three forms of unity, the Second London Baptist Confession, or the Savoy Declaration, or the Formula of Concord, or the 39 Articles. Again, we're not saying you hold all these simultaneously, but you would hold to at least one of these. And you're also willing to reaffirm this every year as you would continue in membership. Again, because this is aimed at the person at the teaching lectern, we're suggesting for membership that the Master of Divinity degree or a theological equivalent would ordinarily be required for membership in the society, but we're willing to accept persons who don't have a Master of Divinity. as a member of the society. But again, we're sort of aiming at the scholar and or the scholarly pastor as far as the presentations that are made. But again, anyone can attend the meetings. So that's a little bit about what this group is about. Let's go ahead and go back to the homepage for a minute. And here on the homepage, we can find out about this year's annual meeting, the 2024 annual meeting. And each year we plan to have a different theme to address a different topic, broadly speaking, that's related to the doctrine of scripture. And this year in our annual meeting on August the 3rd, 2024, the topic is going to be an academic symposium on the Septuagint. And so it's going to be the Reformation text and the Septuagint. Some of you may well know what the Septuagint is. Others of you may not. Let me just do a quick explanation in case someone's listening and doesn't know what the Septuagint is. The Septuagint is a term that is used to refer to various translations of the Hebrew Old Testament into Greek. And in recent decades, there have been various efforts to study and make use of the Septuagint alongside of other ancient translations, sometimes to supposedly correct the Hebrew text of the Old Testament. And so this is really an important issue in our day. How should Protestant Christians look at the Septuagint? And should there be an acceptance of efforts to alter the text of the Old Testament based on the Greek translation of it? And so that's what we're going to be looking at. That's going to be our theme for the 2024 meeting. There will be, as we gather on Saturday, August the 3rd, there are going to be four plenary lectures. And here's a listing of those four plenary lecturers and the topics that they're going to be taking up. One of those is going to be Dr. Russell Fuller. Dr. Fuller has an undergraduate degree from Bob Jones University. He went on eventually to do a PhD at Hebrew Union University. He taught for 20 plus years at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. He's going to be giving us an introductory talk on what exactly is the Septuagint. What is the Septuagint version? Then we're going to have another plenary lecture, and I'm going to be doing that one, yours truly. And I'm the pastor of Christ Reformed. I also am a college professor and a seminary professor. And I'm going to be asking the question, how did the early church use the Septuagint? How did early Christians use the Septuagint? And what's the significance of quotations from the Old Testament in Greek that appear in the New Testament? Then our third lecture is going to be by David Cranendonk. And David is a professor at Puritan Reformed Seminary. He is a historical theologian, and he's going to be asking, what was the Reformation perspective on the Septuagint? What did the Reformers and some of the Protestant Orthodox, what did they write about? What did they say about the Septuagint? And then the last lecture is going to be, again, by my fellow executive committee member on the Reformation Bible Society, Christian McShaffrey, pastor of Five Souls Church. And he's going to be kind of that last lecture, summing things up and talking about the apologetic significance of the Septuagint. And he's going to be asking the question, why does this ancient version matter today? Why is discussion and understanding about the Septuagint important today? And you can see from looking at this, the four plenary talks are we could call it, it's going to be an interdisciplinary approach. We've got someone representing the Old Testament, Studies, Russell Fuller. I'll be representing a New Testament studies perspective. I have a PhD in New Testament. David Cranendonk is going to be a historical theology perspective. And Christian McChaffrey is going to be a more apologetics perspective. So those are the four plenary lectures. Plenary means you're all together. So everyone who's in the conference, these lectures will be given with everyone present. And they'll be a little bit longer, about 45, 50 minute lectures. And then in addition to the four plenary lectures, we will also have a series of parallel breakout sessions. And if you've ever attended something like an SBL meeting or an ETS meeting, you know this format well, or if you've attended other conferences, everybody will be together for the plenary lectures, and then we'll have these parallel sessions where you'll have a choice of which papers you might attend. We have invited six persons to give short papers. These will be about 20, 25 minute papers, and there'll be 5-10 minutes of discussion at the end of each paper. And we're going to have Albert Hemd, who also has done graduate study in Hebrew in the Middle East. And he is going to be addressing one particular passage, Psalm 22, verse 16. They pierced my hands and feet. And there's going to be a question here about how the Masoretic text was interpreted and understood, Psalm 22, 16. Then Matthew Vogan, who is editorial consultant editorial director, I should say, for the Trinitarian Bible Society, he's originally from Scotland, and he has a great interest in historical theology, is a published author and scholar in the area of, in particular, Scottish theology and Scottish theologians. He's going to do a historical theology talk on Robert Bailey's defense of the Masoretic text. And then Jonathan Arnold, in addition to his work as a pastor, he's also the leader of the Trinitarian Bible Society in London. He's going to do a talk on Old Testament Bible translations and the Septuagint. How has the use of the Septuagint affected modern translations of the Old Testament? And then Peter Van Cleek Jr., who's here in Virginia, did a PhD at Liberty University, also did a master's degree at Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia, and another master's degree from Calvin University. He's going to be addressing Reformed epistemology and the Old Testament. And then Brett Malin, who is an OPC pastor and scholar, who teaches at Divine Hope Seminary, which is actually a prison-based seminary. As Brett has a very interesting ministry, teaching men who are incarcerated not only the gospel, but teaching some of them more higher-level theological education within the prison system. He's going to be looking at a critique of the Eastern Orthodox view of the LXX, which is an abbreviation for the Septuagint. And you may or may not know that the Eastern Orthodox Church does not accept the Hebrew Old Testament as the standard, as do most Western Christians, whether they're Roman Catholic or Protestant. But they accept the Greek translation of the Old Testament as authoritative rather than the Hebrew. So they would not be able to affirm Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 1 and paragraph 8. And then Patrick Morgan, who teaches Old Testament and other biblical studies topics at Heidelberg Theological Seminary, he will be doing a talk on falling out of love with the Dead Sea Scrolls. And in addition to the Septuagint, there is a trend among modern Bible translators to also abandon the Hebrew text in favor of readings that are found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And so we have these six invited short papers, but in addition to them, we have also issued a call for papers, and you can find this on the website. And so there's a little bit of an explanation. And if you're out there and you're someone who has an idea, you have been studying something related in particular to the Septuagint, although it could be on any topic. We're not limiting it just to Septuagint. Maybe you have an academic paper on the ending of Mark, or on the woman taken in adultery, or on the Coma Ioanneum. We invite you to send us a proposal. And so there are, I think, pretty precise directions here. There's some topics that might fit if you want to do something on the Septuagint, but it could be on some other topic. And you can send us a proposal that would include a title for the paper, an abstract, so just 100 to 200 words, a little bit about who you are, maybe if you have a curriculum vitae, a CV, a resume, send us a little bit just so we know a little bit about who you are. That can be very abbreviated. If you're a pastor, where are you pastoring? Do you have an undergraduate degree? Do you have an MDiv? Where did you go to school? Have you published anything? You can list that there, abbreviate that there. And so we're receiving papers through the end of this month. We've already received proposals, but we're continuing to receive them through the end of the month, April 30th. And again, your paper doesn't have to be complete. All you have to have done is have written your abstract. And then if we accept it, you'll have, what is it? You'll have May, June, and July. You'll have 3 months to work on that paper. And again, for these short papers, we suggest about 12 double-spaced pages. So if you're interested in participating in the conference as a presenter, you can email to reformationbiblesociety@gmail.com your proposal, and we will consider that. And sometime after April the 30th, probably within a week or two after that, we'll be sending out notifications to the other persons that we will be inviting to give short papers. You might also notice it says here that we're hoping once the conference is completed, that we will be able to take the four plenary lectures along with a selection of some of the short papers that might be filled out, and you would have up until October the 31st. If you want to expand on that short paper and submit it for consideration. And then we're hoping that we will publish those hopefully by the end of 2024 or early 2025 as the 2024 Reformation Bible Symposium papers. And so if you want to present a paper, we would love to have it. We would love to receive it and consider it. Well, let me see if we can go back to the homepage. Again, you don't have to present a paper proposal. You can attend and just listen to the sessions and ask questions in the Q&A time. Let me talk a little bit about registration. If you're thinking about coming and being with us, you'll notice on the homepage of the website, reformationbiblesociety.org, there is a button for register. And if you hit that, you will go to an Eventbrite conference registration site. And if you've attended conferences, you may be well familiar with Eventbrite. And so if you go to that page, you'll see information about the conference and the schedule and so forth. But you'll also see that you have the opportunity there to get a ticket to attend. And so if you hit that button, it will give you the opportunity to register. The cost is $15 per person if you are a student, a college student, high school student, a seminary student, a graduate student in a university, the cost will be $15. For a general admission ticket, it's $30 per person. And by the way, that cost, $15 for students, $30 for general admission, that includes in the cost a complimentary lunch that's served. It also includes coffee and snacks that are served throughout the day. And by the way, this is open for families to attend. If there's a husband, a wife, and three children, it's going to be two adult tickets and three student tickets. You can bring a family. That's fine. We'll leave it to your judgment as to the age appropriateness for attendance. Let me also mention that the Reformation Bible Society is a non-profit organization. So the fees that we're charging here, as you can probably tell by the amount, they're basically the bare minimum. And we're just charging this to cover our costs. We actually have some generous outside funding for this, but this will help us be able to cover the cost, provide the lunch for everyone who is present. So if you want to come, you need to go to the Eventbrite site and register. And I would encourage you to register as soon as possible. We did put a cap on it. There is a limited meeting space, and we do want it to be a kind of an intimate meeting. So if you want to reserve your space, there may come a time when it will fill up and the registration will be closed. But right now, as I'm recording this, we have openings and we would love to have you join us. Let me just say a little bit more while we're talking about this, about the schedule. Again, the meeting itself is going to be held on Saturday, August the 3rd. However, if you're coming from out of town and you come into Lynchburg a day early, if you come on Friday, August the 2nd, we are having a pre-conference event. And the Liberty Mount Conference Center is just up the street from Liberty University. It's adjacent to the campus. And about 5 minutes away is the Rawlings Building, where there's a tower where the Divinity School at Liberty is. And we're going to have a meetup at 4 o'clock at what is called the Rawlings Scriptorium, which is a Bible museum that is owned and operated by Liberty University. And one of the men who is in charge of that is going to give us a tour of their collection. They do have some very interesting printed copies of the Bible in Hebrew, in Greek, and some of the early English translations. It really is a very well curated Bible museum. I think you'll enjoy it. And then after that, anyone who wants to, we're going to go out to a local restaurant. We will have made some arrangements, and you'll sort of be on your own, but it'll give you a chance for some fellowship and conversation. And then we'll come back on Saturday, and from 8:30 in the morning till 5 o'clock in the evening, this is going to be basically our schedule. Let me just add, if you haven't been to Lynchburg, Virginia before, it's a medium-sized southern town. It's very easy to get around, and there are plenty of hotels that are a 10, 15-minute at the most drive from the place we're meeting, really, at Liberty University. So it's not a hassle to get there and to get around Lynchburg, Virginia, if you haven't been there before. Well, friends, we've introduced a little bit this Reformation Bible Society, invited you to the annual meeting. Let me just say a few things in conclusion. Once again, this meeting is open to the public. You don't have to be a member of the Reformation Bible Society to attend. You don't have to be a church officer. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a seminary professor. You don't have to hold any academic credentials. For attendance, it's open to anyone to come. We welcome anyone who's interested in the defense of the traditional Protestant text of the Bible or who wants to learn about it. One of the main things I hope this meeting will do, as with several other conferences I've been part of over the years, it's nice. We live in this digital age. Maybe you see people online, but this gives us a chance to meet in the flesh. It gives us a chance to meet in person, to interact with one another. And I think that's important. We all need that encouragement of coming together. We need that edification and networking with one another. I hate to use a cliched term, but I think it'll be profitable if we come together in person. I was thinking about the Reformation Bible Society. I mentioned the background of the Society of Biblical Literature started in the late 19th century. The Evangelical Theological Society, which started in the mid 20th century. And here we are in the early 21st century, and we're trying to begin this Reformation Bible Society. And the passage that came to my mind from the Old Testament was this. Do you remember in 1 Kings 18, when there's been a drought in the land, and the prophet Elijah prophesies to King Ahab that God is going to send rain. And a servant is sent to look out to the sea to see if the rain is coming. And he comes back and he says, I saw on the horizon a little cloud like a man's hand. I think some translations say like a man's fist. And so he saw just a cloud on the horizon. But if you keep reading, eventually, right, the prophecy of Elijah comes to be. And as it's put in 1 Kings 18, eventually the sky was black with clouds and there was a great rain. Now, we understand this is just the beginning of the Reformation Bible Society. We hope it might grow. We hope it might expand. But we, of all people, know that this is all in the providential hand of God. And so we just need to take this year by year. We're starting in 2024. Is there an interest in something like this that can address the teaching lectern, along with our efforts to address the pulpit and to address the believer in the pew? We think there is a need for this. And so we've formed this organization, and we'd love to have your support. We'd love to have your interests. We'd love to have your involvement. We would ask certainly that you would join us in praying for this venture, first and foremost. And if your circumstances allow, I would encourage you to consider coming to Lynchburg on August the 3rd. Come on the 2nd and join us for the tour of the Bible Museum and the opportunity to share a meal together. Then come on Saturday, August the 3rd, and join us for listening to the lectures and joining in the conversation. We'd love to have you be part of this. Well, with that, I'm going to bring this episode of Word Magazine to a conclusion. I hope that this little episode presenting the ministry of the Reformation Bible Society has been helpful and edifying for those who are listening. I'll look forward to speaking to you in the next Word Magazine. Till then, take care, and may the Lord richly bless you.